Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Member of our brain trust. He is a political operative, a political expert, professional in the area of all things politics. He's very active, was at one time, I should say, very active in the Republican organization, and had a number of important jobs over the decades. Today he's a pundit and talks a lot about these things on television, sometimes on the radio, and he has this outstanding Mullings.com cyber column twice weekly that I encourage you to check it out. Rich Gannon, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, my friend. Happy Labor Day.
Yeah, happy Labor Day. How about that? What do you think about Labor Day?
Not much, because we both appear to be working.
Apparently, right? Yes.
Everybody else, you know, paradoxically, everybody else doesn't work on Labor Day.
So. What's wrong with this picture, right? Yeah, this is my, I was just telling the audience, this is my first, I mean, I've only, in I guess, 18 Labor Days, I've only missed one since then, since I started.
Oh, really?
And that was, I was on a boat in Alaska, and they wouldn't let me do the show there. But
anyway. Oh, that old excuse.
Yeah, that one. Everybody uses that one. So, okay, let's talk about, do you have any Labor Day thoughts, or you want to get right into politics?
No, I understand Labor Day. I think going, you know, to honor unions and working people and all that stuff, and I think that unions in their time had their place and probably did what they were originally formed to do, but like
you're talking to a, talking to a guy who was nursed by union payroll.
Oh, well, there you go. And but I like so many other things, nobody could stop the pendulum from swinging too far.
Yeah.
And finally, they outlived, for many people, they just outlived their usefulness. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with the fact that the economy went from a manufacturing economy to a service economy.
Well, another thing
just
is
not as easy to union.
The law and the laws became better. People and employers started treating their people better. And now there's no question that my family benefited from unions, because my dad was he worked for the steel mill and he
yeah.
worked on the railroad. So we were as blue collar as you get.
Well, so, that's what I mean. And I mean, you know, here in Virginia, you know, we're just next door to West Virginia, where the coal mines were unionized early on, and not very gently by the owners or by the union masters. But in fact, they saved many lives, because the owners of the mines didn't, you know.
But,
I think for a lot of people, they just treated them like a disposable product, and the unions came in and said, you can't do that.
Well,
and then the government followed up.
I don't mind saying, Rich, that I'm anti-union. I think the unions have served their time. They've delivered the goods that they needed to deliver. They're no longer necessary. I mean, I think they're completely unnecessary anymore, and I think they should go away. Government unions, private sector unions. Unfortunately, though, they've got political power and financial capability, even though they only got private sector 7% of the workforce. They've just got way more influence than they deserve. What do you think?
Well, they in the last presidential cycle, I think this is correct, the AFL-CIO contributed $61 million to Democrat candidates, and that came right out of the pockets of the working people. But so, you know, you have to weigh that. If you're going to join a union, you got to decide where you want your money to go.
Well, the unions to be afraid of these days are the government unions, right?
Because private unions, for the most part, understand that you can kill the golden goose if you get too much, if you ask for too much,
which they did.
Make the work rules too restrictive on the company, then the company shuts down and nobody has a job.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen, or at least hasn't happened in public unions, because you just raise taxes. And because, again, you know, Democrats were elected and they were beholden to the unions, and there was really no ceiling on what they could ask for.
Mm-hmm.
Until recently, when Detroit went broke, when Scott Walker decided that was enough.
The unions literally ran Detroit into the ground.
Yeah, they did, especially with their with the retirement benefits. You had people that started working on the roads, you know, maybe when they were 18 and retired 20 years later.
Right.
At 38, and it wasn't just that they were on the public payroll for the next 30 years, but they moved to Arizona. And
right.
So the people were shipping money out of Detroit at an enormous
right.
rate, and they went broke.
Yeah. Well, the thing that concerns me today in terms of unions are the public sector unions.
Yeah.
I mean, they've become a class of themselves, and because they're government, and because they have so much political influence, I'm afraid that not very long from now, maybe already, that group is going to get a very dangerous level of control of the country. What do you think?
Well, I think they've reached the top of the their curve.
You think they've maxed,
going down
they've
the
maxed,
other side?
They've maxed their impact?
Yeah, because people understand. I mean, voters understand how much this is costing them, and people, you know,
what's the evidence of that?
Well, I mean, look at Scott Walker. I mean, he's the most.
Yeah, that's
recent.
A good point. All right, that's a good point. I'll give you that.
He went there, and Chris Christie in New Jersey.
Yep.
Got the teaching.
But Kasich kind of didn't work out for Kasich.
Well, it's every state to its own.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You can't, I mean, just because it's not unanimous doesn't mean it's not changing.
I get one state. Come on, man.
Well, I'm from Ohio.
You got two. I get one. Okay. So. But I'm glad, you know, I was really proud. I'll always be proud of Walker for what he did in Wisconsin.
Yeah, nobody thought he could get away with it, but he took him on and beat him. If you want to morph into politics, it's interesting that he's having trouble duplicating that on the big stage.
That is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So quickly, do you think Walker's got a chance? Do you think
he's got a chance.
He's way down on the list nationally, though.
Yeah, he is. He's down in the single digits, I think 5% or so. Well, at least in Iowa.
But could his message and his success is not. It's apparently not ringing true at this point in time. But could that be something? Is this something that people get excited about now?
Well, it depends on what else is going on. I mean, you have to have a broad enough message. I mean, Trump is. I'm not a Trump guy, but
yeah.
It's clear that if you can stay, the longer you can stay away from specifics that anybody
right.
can pick on,
right.
the better off you are. And he just, you know, he'll talk about anything. So people, you know, in his case, instead of people finding things they don't like about him, people are picking out
right.
Quotes that they read and saying, "Well, I like that."
Hold on to that thought, Rich. We're gonna come back and I'm gonna get Rich to talk about Trump and Clinton. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassie.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.